welcome once again to the Good Hope Through Grace broadcast, a Bible teaching program sponsored by the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I am Pastor Jeff Harper. Last week we concluded our series on salvation words. This week we'll begin another series entitled Salvation Pictures. I believe the Bible makes it clear the way that God saves a sinner. I believe it makes it clear by the many different verses of Scripture that spells it out very plainly that you're saved by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. But the Bible also makes it clear by many pictures. And what we're going to do is look at some of these pictures, and by looking at these, I believe the way of salvation is made crystal clear to us. As I said in past lessons, we can learn so much just by looking at a picture. We're going to look at three pictures, possibly more as I continue in the next few weeks. But for right now in the series, we're just going to look at three. We're going to look at the Passover Lamb, which is a picture of Christ and a picture of salvation through the blood. We're going to look at the scapegoat, and we're going to look at the brazen serpent. Now, of course, we're not going to look at all three of these in this broadcast. In this broadcast tonight, we are just going to look at the Passover Lamb. Now, let's explain a little bit about the Passover. I'd like to read with you from the book of Exodus, chapter 11, in verse 5, or verse 4 and 5. And Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight I will go into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth on the throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the meal, and all the firstborn of the beast." The children of Israel had been in bondage and were in bondage in the land of Egypt. And God had sent different plagues upon the land of Egypt so that Pharaoh would release the children of Israel. Finally, after nine plagues, he still had not let the children of Israel go. So now God was going to bring a tenth and final plague upon the Egyptians, which would be, as I just read, the death of the firstborn. God would send a destroyer throughout the land that night at midnight, and every firstborn son would die throughout the land of Egypt. Oh, could you imagine what a catastrophe that would be in a nation? We're talking about the death of possibly millions of people. In Exodus chapter 12, it records about when it actually happened. I'll go ahead and read you this. It says in verse 29 of Exodus 12, "It came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead." So you can just imagine at how great of a plague this indeed was upon the land of Egypt. God provided, though, a means of saving the firstborn in Israel who dwelled in Egypt. In the book of Exodus 12, it says that the children of Israel was to take a lamb without spot and without blemish, and they were to kill it of the evening, and they were to catch its blood in a basin, and they were to go to the front of their house, and they were to take the blood of the lamb, they would put it over their door and down both sides. And Scripture says in Exodus 12:13, "The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." Now, that's the story of the Passover. Of course, whenever the destroyer came through the land, and whenever he seen the blood that was upon the houses of the families of the children of Israel, the firstborn lived. But where their house had no blood, and the other houses of Egypt, then the death of the firstborn came. Now, let's bring out the pictures from Passover. Many of you probably listening already know the story of Passover, but there's many pictures. We're going to bring out several pictures in this particular study tonight. The first picture I want you to see, the first picture of salvation that I want you to see, is you see a picture of salvation by a substitute. Every house in Egypt, there was death. Not only was there death in the houses of the Egyptians, but there was also death that happened at the houses of the children of Israel where they dwelt at. The only difference, and this is a major difference, was where the children of Israel dwelt out, the death was the death of a lamb. But where the Egyptians lived at, it was the death of the firstborn son. Indeed, a big difference. You see, in the houses of the children of Israel, there was the picture of salvation by a substitute. Rather than the firstborn of Israel dying, the lamb died instead. The children of Israel's firstborn had a substitute. Instead of them dying, the lamb died. In the New Testament, Jesus, in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, it says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. In the New Testament, John the Baptist called Jesus in the Gospel of John chapter 1. He said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This Passover lamb is a picture of Jesus Christ. And what was Jesus for us? He was our substitute. Indeed, there is a destroyer coming again. But the destroyer that is coming for us is an eternal destruction from the presence of God because of our sin. Well, this is what we faced. Because I was a sinner, I faced an eternal punishment in hell from the presence of God because of my sin. God in mercy and God in grace and love provided for me and for you a substitute. This substitute was His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He shed His blood on Calvary's cross in order to save us from our sin. Isaiah 53:6 says, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So as you look at Passover, and as you look at the houses of the children of Israel, you see that in each house where the firstborn was spared, there was a death there, but it was the death of a lamb. There was a substitute. You that are listening to me tonight need to know you need a substitute. And that substitute to save you from your sin was Jesus. And if you don't accept this substitute that God gave to save you, then you'll pay for your own sins forever. So you see, first of all, tonight, the picture of the substitute, salvation by a substitute. The second thing you see in this particular picture is you see a picture of salvation by grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The idea of the word grace simply means unmerited. Grace is not something you earn, nor is grace something that you deserve. And you see this grace in Passover. Could you imagine the next day seeing all these firstborn of Israel living and walking around and maybe an Egyptian coming to them and saying, Well, why didn't you die? Why didn't death come to you as it did in our houses? Why were you not slain? Why did the destroyer pass over you? Can you imagine what they'd say? Well, I was spared. I was passed over. What would they have said? Because of the blood of the Lamb. And that's the only reason. It wasn't because of the good deeds that the firstborn did. It wasn't because of their works. It wasn't because of the good things that they had done. It was all because of the blood of the Lamb. It's a picture of grace. You see, salvation by faith in our substitute, Jesus Christ, excludes all boasting on our part. That's the reason why Ephesians 2 and verse 9 says, lest any man should boast. The book of Romans 3 says, where is boasting then is excluded. I boast in one thing tonight in my salvation. I boast in my Savior, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed His blood to save me from my sin. And everyone in heaven, there will be no boasting there. Everyone that's going to heaven, their boast is in nothing else but Jesus' blood and righteousness. So here you see a picture of grace. It wasn't the deeds of the firstborn that saved them. It was the blood of the Lamb that saved them. And that's still the same way today. And He just pictures it for you. He tells you you're not saved by your works in Ephesians 2:9, 8:9, and in many other places. But He pictures for you, you're not saved by your works in Passover. It's clearly that what saved the firstborn was nothing but the blood of the Lamb. And I'm telling you tonight, it's still the same way. The third picture that we want to look at, we've looked at the picture of salvation by a substitute. We've looked at a picture of grace. And now the other picture you see in Passover is you see a picture of salvation by faith. The children of Israel were told what to do by Moses. God told Moses to tell the children of Israel to take the lamb and to kill it of the evening and to shed its blood and to put it on their door and then to stay behind the door all night and feast upon the lamb that they had slain. They were told what to do. But then, once they heard what they were to do, they then went and carried out exactly what Moses, under the direction of God, told them to do. They applied the blood to their doors. They knew to apply the blood to their doors. They were told what to do. They knew what to do. But then they carried it out and applied the blood. I mean, it wouldn't have done any good whatsoever to know that there was a destroyer coming and to know that putting the lamb's blood on the door would save your firstborn. It would have did you no good to know that unless you actually physically put it on your door. There's a lot of people like that today. They know, or they've heard, or they've, when they were children, they were raised in churches and things, and maybe their parents were saved, and they have been taught, and they have a knowledge that salvation is through the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus. They know that they need to be saved. They know that there's a hell out there, and they know that there's a punishment for sin. They have a knowledge of all these things, and they know what they need to do. But yet, at the same time, they have never applied the blood to their door. By that I mean, they have never trusted Christ. They know the way. They have direction concerning the way. But they've never trusted it. Here's a picture of faith. Salvation by faith. Faith is always in an object. Faith is just not knowing what to do. Faith is trusting. Not only did the children of Israel know what to do, by faith, based on what Moses said under the direction of God, by faith, they applied the blood to their door. Just knowing what to do, and knowing that there's a God, just knowing that Jesus lived, is not what saving faith is. Saving faith is more than just knowing it, it's trusting it. That's how we apply the blood today. Let me ask you a question. Have you applied the blood to your door? Not only do you know the way, but have you trusted the way? Have you put your sole hope of heaven in Jesus Christ and in His substitutionary, sacrificial death on Calvary's cross? Do you know the way, but have you not ever applied the blood to your door? Oh, that's what faith is. Faith is more than knowing. Faith is applying the blood. Oh, if you've never applied the blood to your heart's door, to your life, if you've never trusted Christ, then you need to now. You never know when the destroyer will come into your life. They knew that night at midnight the destroyer were coming. But by the time this broadcast is over, the destroyer could come and you could die tonight. You need to be ready. And if you've not applied the blood, if you've not trusted Christ, then you are not ready. So here you see a picture of faith, a picture of applying the blood. And that's how we apply the Lamb's blood today. We apply it by faith. The fourth picture we want to see here in this broadcast is you see a picture of Calvary. You know, they couldn't take the living lamb. I couldn't imagine having to slay a little lamb. That would have been hard. But I'll tell you what, that's the picture of the shedding of the blood of the lamb was just a picture of Calvary. And Calvary was hard. They couldn't just take the lamb and tie it to the door alive. They had to slay the lamb. They had to shed its blood. Because you see, it's not just the living lamb that saves, it's the dying lamb that saves. Jesus had to die in order to save us from our sins. Not only did He have to come and live a perfect life, but once He'd lived that perfect life, He had to shed His blood. He had to be slain in order to save us from our sin. You see a beautiful picture of Calvary in the Passover. He had to be slain. He had to shed His blood. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "Father, if this cup," speaking of Calvary, "if this cup can pass from me, let it pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." 3 different times Jesus made that request. Have you ever wondered why Jesus did that? Jesus knew He had to die, folks. That's the reason why He came. That was foreordained before the foundations of the world that He would come and die. He knew He had to. Yet He went into the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed this prayer. Why did He do that? He did that for us. If there had been any way, any work you could do, any law you could keep that could save you from your sin, other than by the humiliating, sacrificial death of God's Son, I guarantee you, when He made that request 3 times in the garden, the Father said, "There's another way. Come on home, son." But you know, folks, there was no other way. The next morning, Jesus had to go to Calvary. And He had to be slain. Why is that? He had to have that done in order to save us from our sin. There was no other way. The Passover is a picture of Calvary, the slain lamb who had to be slain in order to save us from our sin. You see several pictures of Jesus in the book of Exodus 12 in Calvary. I'll show you just a few of them. Exodus 12:5, it was very important that the lamb that they picked. Exodus 12:5 says, it says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, without blemish." Jesus is said to be the Lamb of God that is without blemish in the book of 1 Peter. "We weren't redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish." The Passover lamb was without blemish because it pictured Jesus who was without sin. He wasn't without sin that He couldn't pay for our sin debt. He had to be without blemish. That's why the Passover lamb had to be. In Exodus 12:6, it says that they were to kill this lamb of the evening. That's 3 o'clock. Jesus hung on Calvary's cross from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the evening. Again, a picture of Calvary. In the book of Exodus chapter 12, it says that this lamb, it says not one bone of this lamb would be broken. Verse 46, it says, "In one house shall it be eaten, and thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof." You go back to Calvary, whenever they broke the two thieves' legs, when they come to break Jesus' legs, He was already dead. Why didn't they break Jesus' legs? Because the Scripture said not a bone of Him would be broken. Oh, do you see the picture of Calvary in the Passover in the book of Exodus chapter 12? That's why the Father gave it. Do you see the picture of Jesus? Do you see the picture of salvation by applying the blood? Do you see the picture of salvation by grace? It wasn't the works of the firstborn that saved them. It was the substitutionary lamb's blood that saved them. One more picture I'd like to give you. You also see a picture of redemption, which was one of our salvation words that we looked at in this particular study. You see a beautiful picture of redemption. It says in the passage in the book of Exodus chapter 12, and verse 11, it says, "And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Verse 50, "Thus did all the children of Israel as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies." You see, that night they received the Passover, and the next day they left the bondage of Egypt. That's the reason why Jesus said, "Eat it with your loins girded and your staff in your hand," because the next morning they were getting out of bondage. After 400 years of bondage, having received the Passover, the next day, they left their bondage. Oh, do you see the picture of redemption? We weren't in bondage in the land of Egypt. Before I was saved, I was under the bondage of a sin debt. The book of Galatians calls that a curse. It says, "Cursed is everyone that doesn't continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them." I was cursed because of my sin. And I needed to be set free from the bondage of my sin debt. How do I get set free? Well, look at the Passover. Having received the lamb, having had the blood applied to their door, having been saved by the blood, the firstborn the next day left Egypt. Oh, isn't it a beautiful picture? Having received Jesus Christ as your Savior, having trusted in the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His shed blood on Calvary's cross, we leave our bondage. I'm not under bondage anymore. My sin debt has been paid by Christ Jesus. I'm free now. Free from the sins that I've committed. Free from the curse of the law. Oh, do you see the picture? Do you see the picture of redemption? Having received the Passover, the next day they left their bondage. Do you see the picture? Picture of redemption. Do you see the picture of Calvary? Do you see the picture of Jesus, our Passover? Jesus had to be slain. It's not the living lamb that saves. It's the living, dying lamb that saves. It's His crucifixion. It's His death that brings about our salvation. Do you see the picture of salvation by applying the blood? We apply the Lamb's blood by faith. Do you see the picture of grace? The reason the firstborn didn't die and suffer the death by the destroyer was just because of the blood of the Lamb. The picture of salvation by grace. Not their works saved them. It was the blood that saved them. You see the picture of the salvation by a substitute. Rather than the firstborn dying, the Lamb died instead. Oh, folks, God not only tells you you're saved by the blood of the Lamb, but He draws you a picture in the Old Testament set there for us to look at. And the Passover is a perfect picture of salvation by the blood. Oh, have you trusted the blood? Is your hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? Do you understand what it means to be saved by nothing but the blood? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's an old song in our hymn book. I'd like to read you the words of it. It's based on the Passover. Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all His due. All that was due me He paid. All who receive Him need never fear. Yes, He will pass. He will pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus can save. As He has promised, so will He do. Oh, sinner, hear Him. Trust in His Word. Then He will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Won't you trust Jesus? If you've never trusted Him, you heard about Him, but you've never trusted Him as your Savior, won't you trust Him right now? The Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Won't you trust the blood? Won't you apply His blood to your heart now as we conclude this broadcast? This has been the Good Hope Through Grace broadcast, Bible teaching program sponsored by the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur. We would sure love to hear from you if you enjoy our broadcast. If you would, drop us a line at P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011. We look forward to hearing from you. And Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday at 7:30 at the Good Hope Through Grace Broadcast.